What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. We're fresh out of Playbook 4, and I think we're both feeling very pumped up.
Yeah, that was one of the more intense rallies I've ever been to. I don't know, it was incredible.
Anyways, we're going to be recapping that for you guys today, talking a little bit about Steve Ballmer's plan for the new stadium. We're going to be talking about the scouting from the front office. And then today is Friday, so every Friday we do something from the Pacific Division. This week, we're going to be ranking the best home courts in the Pacific Division, both regular season and kind of playoffs. And then we're going to be wrapping up with everybody's favorite Friday segment, Love, Marry, Kill. So we got a good one lined up for you. So before we get into the Playbook 4 stuff, just want to give a huge shout out to John Cooperman, who hooked us up with his RSVPs, which was really great. So we got to attend the event. As fans, so, you know, we got to kick back a little bit. And then also a huge shout out to Leslie, who works, for the Clippers or for the event staff. She said she listened to the show every single day. She spotted us immediately. And we, you know, we were going to kind of get into any seat, towards the back or whatever. And she escorted us to a row where we probably clearly didn't belong, with some of the higher end ticket holders. But, so thankful for that. We're really thankful for everybody who listens to the show, is a fan of the show. Really means a lot. We want to continue to keep putting good content out there for you guys. Chuck, why don't you kick us off with a little bit of info on that Playbook 4?
So Playbook 4 was, I mean, nothing short of electric. Sounds so stupid to say, but that's what I'm going to say. The event, every single person crushed it. Brian Seaman hosted. He made everyone feel comfortable. They were serving alcohol an hour and a half before the event started, which I thought was an interesting choice.
Very interesting call.
They started with everyone. I think kind of saw the stadium renderings before we got into the Playbook, because those were really Twitter and stuff like that. And we're in, I mean, the stadium looks unbelievable. It's this modern stadium, has Zen gardens, there's zero greenhouse gas emissions, a large percentage of people who are going to work there have to be hired from the surrounding area, there's community courts, I mean, the practice facility is there. It's the most futuristic stadium in the best way possible, I think.
Absolutely. It's so modern, and Steve really hammered home a couple of things, which I thought was awesome. One, he was really driving how this was like a basketball driven stadium, period. So they were really going through like a lot of R&D to make it like the best experience player and fan wise. They talked about wanting to arrange the seats in a way that were comfortable, but it would create like a huge wall of sound, so everybody would be super pumped up.
Mm-hmm. Like a college is what they were saying.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like a college. And he said that he was himself testing the seats to make sure that they were comfortable, which I thought was super endearing.
And the fact that the practice facility is there, I think, is so big for players, because a lot of the talk you hear about players who sometimes don't want to play in New York because the practice facility is super far away from the actual stadium. So you can't like live. You kind of have to live in between both. And here, everything is there and the community courts are there.
Yeah. And they also have community courts, which I thought was really cool. It was interesting to hear them talk about like even the placement of the stadium was, I mean, at least from how they described it, it was like really purposeful. They wanted to find the best place for a Clipper Stadium. They had looked at other places, probably with a lot less litigation than the current one is going to involve.
Oh, God. Yeah.
But they wanted something near downtown, between that and the ocean.
In the 105 and the 110, I thought was one of my favorite quotes when they were trying to figure out where to put it. But it just looks absolutely phenomenal. The renderings are online. Jovan tweeted about it. The LA Times has it. It looks so futuristic, but I think in a really good way.
Yes.
The top of it still is supposed to look like a basketball going into a net.
Yeah. So originally when I heard the design, I was like a little bit leery of like, I was like, oh, basketball and a hoop. It's done really subtly and it looks really good.
Yeah, it was great. And then, I mean, so then the event actually started, and Brian Seaman came out and did a fantastic intro. And it just, I don't know, like, you had a tweet about it, I think. You've never been to a political rally, but after that night, it was just, the energy was insane.
Oh, yeah. It was like we were ready to start the revolution or something. It was, it was pretty much unlike any, like, public speaking event that I've ever been to before. Mm-hmm. It was really, really cool.
Ballmer had a great anecdote. He was when he was bringing, they were talking about bringing Beverly back, and Ballmer told Beverly that they won 48, and Beverly said, no, we won 50, and corrected him because of the playoff win. Everyone was so hyped up. They opened the doors at 6, and they were serving alcohol an hour and a half before the event started, which I think helped with the crowd's vibe. Then Jerry West came out, and Jerry West had some really interesting things to say. He touched on Tobias. He said that we played better without him, but that wasn't a knock on him. It was just a playstyle observation.
For sure. And he talked about the importance of that trade. It was wild when those two guys took the stage. Like the crowd, dude, people was going were nuts. Jacked. It was like everyone was just screaming Jerry, like kind of like the Jerry Springer show.
Well, I was saying it's incredible he's wrestled that away from Jerry Springer. That's a big get, I feel like, branding wise.
Yeah.
And then personally, I think the bombshell of the thing for me was when he was talking about Terrence Mann.
Yeah. So if anybody didn't see, we were tweeting about it last night, but Jerry had the quote that he promised basically by the end of the season, you would be seeing that kid with some playing time.
Yeah, he said a lot. He emphasized a lot.
A significant amount. And Lawrence Frank hinted at some people within the front office being familiar with Terrence Mann, going all the way back to him being like the start of his teenage years, like 13. He had been kind of on the radar for some of the front office.
Just because they knew him. I want to reiterate that. We weren't like scouting this kid since he was 13.
No, they were doing the Kawhi treatment.
Yeah, from a very young age. No, and everyone, you kind of felt like, not a shock, but a wave of like, oh, whoa, this is real when they were talking about our rookies. I couldn't believe, you know, he said even though we're going to miss Shea, this kid is going to be really good about Terrence Mann. And what trips me out about this is if you look at Terrence Mann's assist numbers in college, they're okay. They're not phenomenal, but we seem to think, based on scouting him, that we can unlock this distributor inside of him, which I think we kind of saw in Summer League.
They're really impressed with his athleticism. It was pretty interesting. And then I don't want to underrate here either, because they were also like, they were just really impressed with the scouting that they had done for the second round. They seemed really excited about both of these prospects, which, you know, I had been excited too, like in the way that you get excited about Summer League, but like this, this took it to a different level for me.
Definitely. This felt more real. And they said that when Fee was still available in that late first, they just felt they had to make the move in, which was another thing that kind of blew me away. It was just like, but we'll say this, I found myself a little bit after the event kind of taking it with a tiny bit of grain of salt, because we heard similar stuff about Shea.
That's fair.
I'm not against it, but it was funny because it just kind of meant, I was like, well, we were talking about, you know, Lee Jenkins mentioning him in the article and him being a cornerstone, and, you know, it sucks that we traded him, but I don't think we're going to get rid of Mann at all, or B, obviously, but it was funny that I had just that tiny bit of grain of salt.
Yeah, well, I guess going on, like, on the grain of salt thing, it was just an extraordinary circumstance that led to Shea not being on this team anymore. And they hinted as much, you know. Jerry West, you know, was, it at least felt very sincere when he, you know, kind of gravely said, we gave up two good players and we're really going to miss them. And he said, though, that ultimately, like, to get two players kind of that caliber on the same team in Paul George and Kawhi is like something that unheard of, how he described it. So I do understand taking it with a grain of salt, but I think that, man, it's kind of a freak circumstance that's the reason that Shea is no longer on this squad.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And just the bullishness on the rookies 2 years in a row blows me away. It makes me really excited for scouting in the future. Then the event, Brian Seaman came out, and then the event kind of wrapped up. And everyone, I mean, the feeling in the hallway, the halls of the Wiltern after, it was like, it was incredible. I was so hyped up. I felt like I could have, like, sprinted home.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Ballmer asked, I love this one quote, Ballmer wants resilience from Clipper fans, which I thought was a fantastic quote. And I think we've given him that. I think every Clippers fan up to this point has given him resilience since they've been with the team through so much. I also wanted to, no other organization has an event like this.
No other organization has what?
An event like this.
Oh,
where
yeah.
The GM, the president of basketball operations, a consultant, the owner, come out and let you know what's up so candidly.
Yeah, and it wasn't, I mean, I guess we'll see as the season, you know, as the season moves on, because like talk is great, but you know, walk yeah. is better. but it did really feel like it just felt like it tied into this whole identity that they've been establishing, like with the LAR way thing, with this kind of like this resilient, tough kind of thing. It was like, I don't know. It felt like the locker room rally, and that like all everybody was a part of it in a way that, you know, even though we're not physically, it just felt really cool to be a part of.
Everything's just coalescing at the perfect time.
Yeah.
It feels really incredible, right? Like this moment in Clippers basketball. Should we move on? Should we talk about this Blake question in the second segment? I like this question that you have.
Yes. Yeah, we all should. Right.
Coming up after this, we're talking a pretty good hypothetical about some front office stuff. And then more Hope Talk, some Pac-12 court rankings. Well, hope everyone's listening to us on the Himalaya app. Shout out them. But yeah, coming up next, more Hope.
All right. So, more Hope.
I'm ready.
I had kind of a weird thought last night during during the event. Lawrence Frank had an interesting quote where he was talking about the scouts not getting enough credit because they know how to identify a Clipper and like what that is.
Yeah.
You know? So it just kind of made me think of like the trades and everything that led us where we were. I was kind of wondering, because of Lawrence's time with the Pistons, do you think without Lawrence Frank's connection to the Pistons and obviously coming to the front office of the Clippers, do you think that Blake trade doesn't happen?
Oh man, that's a really good question. And I don't think it does.
So the thing for me is I'm with you. I kind of don't think that it happens. Blake was in a little bit of a downturn. He was having a really good season, the best in a while, but he had had a couple injury seasons. He had had the fight with the equipment manager.
I don't know if that was really
not
fight,
good
but
stuff.
Yeah.
And I think the overall consensus around the league, and I'm not saying that this is what I thought, but this is just you know what you heard was that people thought, you know, his prime had passed and he was going to be on the descent somewhat quickly, and a lot of people really questioned that contract that they were given. And it's really hard to call any contract truly untradeable, but I did not see a whole lot of teams out there that would really be willing to take that kind of a swing without us taking some sort of major loss. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think my thing with Lawrence Frank is I think he was building to a team identity that he didn't really fully understand yet. And I mean that in a good way. I think he was making moves that he thought were good, and they were good, but they were just better and I think more comprehensive than he understood initially.
Than he even planned for.
Yes. But obviously, like, maybe, like, you know, if this works out well, it's going to be great. But I just think it worked out even better than he thought it was going to work out. And he just kept following, you know, this instinct of what players are going to fit with stuff, which is such an inherent thing. I don't think you can even learn. I mean, I guess you can from great people, but I think you also have to kind of have part of it. It's like when we talk about playing defense, you kind of have that in you or you don't.
Yes. Oh,
and I 100%. Think Lawrence trusts his instincts enough and obviously learns and absorbs so much that it all just worked out to where we are now. But I think you're right. I don't think it goes down without Lawrence Frank.
Yeah, 100%. And I don't know exactly, you know, like, this is all very, this is, like, a little bit conspiracy stuff that we're saying, because I don't know that anybody in the front office still had close ties to Lawrence Frank at that time. You know, obviously, it's been multiple seasons since his tenure there. But I do think that I do still think that he would have had a foot in the door there to in terms of a trade than maybe he would at any other sort of franchise.
Yeah, definitely. And it's funny too, because like he left on such rough terms from the Pistons. Like I'm reading this thing right now. He ripped them. He said that was disheartening to watch when they got beat by the Nets at one point. And it was like, I mean, he was definitely speaking his mind, and I think it's great he's no longer in that coach position in a good way.
Yeah. And then I don't know. He had like the Jason Kidd up. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I was just thinking about like how that weird, like, it's just sometimes hard to look past some of these like 6 degree of separation things. You know what I mean?
Totally, man. I agree. Everyone's hopped up on as much hope as we've ever experienced before. I can't imagine. So the Clippers are fantastic right now, and that's great. So if you're a Clipper, that's fantastic. I can't imagine how people are feeling if everything else in their life is going well too. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I was wondering, after the vibe at the Wiltern last night and everything, what are you expecting? Did last night change or maybe give you an idea of what home games are going to be like next year?
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. So I don't see any way that the home games couldn't be different.
That's right? Very well said.
Like,
yeah,
there's
not going to be the traveling Oklahoma City Thunder contingent drowning us out the games anymore.
Yeah.
It's going to be... It just seems like it's going to be raucous was the only word I could really think of. And I want
it. Yeah, that's perfect.
I just want it to be insane.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that we'll see. I mean, it's hard to judge just because, you know, we don't know what's going to happen during the regular season. But I think initially it definitely will be. And the only hesitation I would give is that, you know, any fan base can sometimes be fickle when things aren't going as expected or as well as had hoped.
Especially in this city, which I would agree with that. It seemed, I will say, so last night I definitely was a little, you know, recency bias, having just been punched in the face with positivity from Ballmer and Frank and
Brian
Seaman and Jerry West. But I'm so looking forward to it. And I think we need to give a shout out to the media team for the Clippers. If you're on Twitter, you need to follow every single member of the media team. I mean, they had some phone wallpapers that came out yesterday. All the videos at the event last night were absolutely amazing. I'm so psyched for... I think we're going to see a lot more cool stuff, like the downtown LA Friday night stuff with the lights and the LED wristbands. I really hope we lean into that kind of stuff. Yeah. But that brings up kind of our Pac Div topic this year, is home court advantage rankings.
Yeah, I like this one a lot.
So let's start at the bottom.
Okay.
Which I think we are going to have the same one. It's the Suns, right?
Yeah. I mean, it didn't ask me.
It's Talking Stick Arena, right? It can't. I mean, I don't know.
The Suns, I want to give a big shout out to the Suns' fans, because a lot of them are like their subreddit is really pretty funny. And they are just like such a resilient fan base.
Yeah, but they're gluttons for punishment.
Yeah, exactly. It's still like, it's still not maybe a home court advantage spot.
It would be great.
It would be, though, if they made the playoffs.
Yeah, so it would be great if the Suns, Kings, and Clippers could all rise together from the Pacific Division, but I think that's going to wait a few years. Yeah, the playoffs would be great at the old Talking Stick Arena, but I don't know. Who knows when that's going to happen? Who do you have above the Suns?
This is going to be also a little bit of recency bias, but I'm actually going to go to the Golden State Warriors. And let me tell you why. they had trouble locking it down at home during the playoffs, certainly against a certain team. And I think with the new arena, like, it's going to be packed, but it's not going to be the same type of fans. It's not going to be, you know, like, The fan base has changed so much with how, I mean, both the growth of, you know, San Francisco and the Bay Area coinciding with, like, the, you know, the dynasty of the Warriors. The fan base has changed a lot. I think it's going to be completely different once they get you know, in this new arena, and in the way that, like,
I mean, I, you said it, like, they're the first team to ever be, feels like, gentrified. They're the first franchise.
Exactly. Yeah. Truly, no, 100%. Be gentrified. But it's also like, I feel like the different type of fans are fair weather fans. They're going to be like raucous when things are going good. But I mean, I feel like we saw even in the playoffs, man, when the chips were down, like, it's not like the fans were super into the game. It's not like they were really trying to rally the guys back.
I agree. Do you have the Kings ahead of the Warriors? Was that going to be your next one?
Yeah.
I was going to flip-flop. I was going to go Kings, mostly because I think the fans are bummed that they fired Dave. I think that might be kind of a weird situation.
Doesn't matter.
Situation.
I think going into Sacramento, I don't care what your seed is, going into Sacramento to play a playoff series, that kind of sounds hellacious.
Oh, yeah, playoff series for sure. But regular season, I'm not sure what it's going to be like. Because they kind of fell off when the wheels fell off with the team. So maybe there's just, I think the expectations are really high, and I think they're really excited. I hope it's fun. But then I was going to have the Warriors ahead of them, because I think there might be some rallying from the fans around Steph. I think there might be this, like, because, you know, what, Clay's going to be out, so it's going to be pretty much all Steph for a while.
It'll go back to kind of the old gang.
Yeah. And then it looks like our top two, who do you have for the second best home court advantage in the Pac-2? That's a tough one.
Second best, I'm probably going to go Clippers.
I think I have to say Clippers too, just because I think opening night's going to be fantastic.
I love how deflated both of us sound. It's like, man.
Yeah.
I
want to go one, but I just realistically don't think. Maybe halfway through the season, but right now it'll switch. But right now, those Lakers games are going to be crazy.
Yeah, TBD. Anytime the Clippers are playing the Lakers at Staples, I mean, it's an away game.
Oh, that's going to be, yeah. I think our media team's better, and I think in terms of in-stadium effects, we're going to have a lot more fun than the Lakers. And we have giveaways. They don't even give their fans anything.
Give the fans what they want.
Which is free LED wristbands and bobbleheads of your announcers.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, man, everything I hope else? They have a Brian Seaman bobblehead next year.
Oh, I bet they will. He crushed it last night, too. He is.
Great broadcaster.
If anyone was worried about him, which I don't know why you would have been, we are fine. It's obviously going to take some getting used to, but it's a lot easier to get used to than I thought it was going to be, and that's all because of how great he is.
We're definitely in good hands.
Anything else on Pac Div stuff before we transition into this fantastic Love, Marry, Kill?
No, I don't. I that's all I got for the Pac Div.
All right, guys, strap in, because coming up after this, we got an Updike special Love, Marry, Kill. Want to give a shout out though to Untucked Shirts. Steve Ballmer not wearing an Untucked shirt last night. Pretty bummed.
He was suited up. I was surprised.
Everyone was suited up.
Cash.
Everyone in our section was suited up. We would have looked much more in place had we had an Untucked shirt. One more time. That is Untucked Shirts.
All right. So I gotta Love, Marry, Kill.
If you're new to the pod, we do this every Friday. Sometimes it's serious. Most of the time it's not.
Most of the time it's ridiculous. Generally, Friday are kind of let our hair down pods.
Yes. Yeah.
So I was wondering what Paul George's favorite subreddits are.
I like this. I have some extra ones I'm going to throw on here.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's the name of the game. So, basically, Paul George isn't super active on social media.
No.
Kind of same as me. So I'm assuming that he's very interested in Reddit.
He's not posting. He's just checking stuff out.
He might post.
Okay. But it's for those of you who don't know, if you might not know what Reddit is, it's just a big website with pictures and cats and news. It's aggregated, and people think it's a low-key website, but it's like the fifth most traveled website on the web.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have to explain what Reddit is. There's a bunch of different categories.
I mean, some people might not.
But so what I've got on the board for what I think are Paul George's favorite subreddits, we got Birds Aren't Real, which, if you're unfamiliar, it's a great subreddit where essentially people are convinced jokingly, and maybe some even wholeheartedly, because you never know on the internet, that all birds were destroyed by President Reagan sometime in the 80s, and they have now been replaced with spying drones.
A lot of good info on that stuff.
And then I have another one on the board, which is, would be R, Real Big Fish. Is that, I think that Paul George...
Is that the band?
Well, hold on. Hear me out here. I think that Paul George went to R, Real Big Fish, looking for the outdoor fishing stuff. You know, sounded good to him. He's an outdoorsman. But he stayed for the ska.
All right. I mean, Real Big Fish is a pod favorite, so I'm not mad at this so far.
And then for the last one of my recommendations, I've got R Creepypasta, which, if you're unfamiliar, it's just people like copying and pasting stories and stuff. But these ones are all scary, and I like to imagine Paul George maybe settling into bed at night and looking at one with the nightlight on and be like, oh, that's spooky.
I like those. I think I'm going to add, the only one I'm going to add to this is Birds with Arms, which is the subreddit where it's just pictures of birds doing things like reading the newspaper.
Okay, I like that. With human arms. Man, we got two bird-related ones. So I'm loving R Real Big Fish.
I would agree with that one.
Okay. I have no idea if it's a real subreddit, but I love the idea of Paul George, you know, he's an outdoorsman, looking for some fishing content. You know, he's thirsty for the fishing content. And then finding out about the band Real Big Fish and becoming big enough into ska that he would follow a subreddit devoted to it.
Yeah. And then he just has himself a beer. That's where all the Real Big Fish ends up.
I would like to see him, you know, maybe picking up some checkered Vans, maybe some shorts with a chain wallet, maybe skanking after games.
Yeah, he's skanking after every single three. So which one are you marrying?
Okay, I'm marrying Creepypasta, and like, I don't even know how to justify it other than the idea of Paul George looking at scary content on the internet, freaking himself out, and then having to sleep with a light on. I think it's like, I think it's maybe the most endearing thing I could ever know about a player.
Yeah, I'm gonna marry Birds Aren't Real.
Okay.
I think with the NBA players are like, I feel like they're in the conspiracy league. There's like, you know, Kyrie with the flat earth stuff, da da da. And I think it would just fit the weird time that we're in if Paul George, if it was revealed he didn't think birds were real.
I don't know why, but I just keep circling around the idea that maybe Paul George, he's not into necessarily like third eye or Illuminati stuff, but I do believe that he might get down on a good conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I think it's a little more naturalist that bleeds into conspiracy.
Yes.
They're kind of weirdly, they kind of touch, you know what I mean?
Yes, it's definitely like, there's some overlap on that Venn diagram.
Oh man, do we got anything else for today, or are we going to send them off for the weekend with Paul George conspiracy theories?
Oh, what was your kill?
Oh, my kill? I got to kill Creepypasta.
That's fair.
But
that's
also because it's too scary.
It's too scary.
I don't want them getting freaked out before games.
I'm going to kill Birds with Arms, but only because also too scary for me.
Hey, I mean, that makes sense.
But anyways, that's all we got for y'all today out there in Clipper Nation. So thanks so much for tuning in with us. Thank you so much, Charles, for calling in remotely.
I appreciate it. I hope you got some solo pods coming up this week, so they're in good hands, man. It's going to be a good time.
Oh, yeah. So everybody in Clipper Nation, have a good weekend. Thanks so much for listening. I've been William the Opinion Updike.
And I'm Positive Chuck Mockler. We will see you guys on Monday.